Welcome to This Day in Pottery History, a series of brief observations, meditations, vignettes, and editorials about the backroads and byways of pottery history that helped shape the pottery world as we know it today, here on this very day in pottery history. I'm your host, Stephen Earp. For images and reading lists associated with these narratives, visit StephenEarp.com/podcasts. And now, let's get going. Episode 20, How to Survive a Shipwreck. Despite Hollywood's glamorization of sunken treasure ships, only a few such galleons sank during the lucrative China trade era. But on January 3, 1752, the Dutch East India Company, or VOC, ship Geldermalsen, went down near the Straits of Malacca, en route from Macau, China, to its home in Rotterdam, the Netherlands. At sunset, a reef tore the Geldermalsen's keel apart. The surrounding waters were shark-infested, and most sailors of the time couldn't swim. Miraculously, several crew members made it to shore. But piracy was rampant in those waters, and the survivors were strangers in a strange land. So even more miraculously, they evaded capture and finally managed to return home. Their trial began 2 months later. It was VOC policy to charge any crew who abandoned their ship with gross treason. A guilty verdict meant death. Fortunately for the hapless crew, they were let off. And fortunately for us, their ship was discovered 233 years later, with most of the 150,000 pieces of export porcelain on board intact and buried under a blanket of tea. When combined with the VOC's scrupulous archives of invoices, this find offers a priceless record of 17th and 18th century China trade porcelain, its nomenclature, its pricing, etc., etc. The Dutch East India Company was one of the first international trade cartels. As such, they cared only for profit, i.e. volume, over fancy, difficult-to-pack items. Huge returns were made on teacups alone. Ships could carry over 100,000 teacups in a single load, with room to spare for other orders. Teacups could be that densely packed because they didn't have handles. Only chocolate cups did, until around 1750. To fill these massive orders, some factories in Jinjiang were entirely geared towards European designs. Enameling workshops also popped up around European trading posts in Canton and Macau to quickly decorate plain blank porcelain with whatever designs the buyers were into. A Chinese version of cheap Chinese knockoffs of upscale Chinese products. East Indiamen sailors were allowed small personal purchases of more elaborate work on the side, in quantities corresponding to rank, as compensation for relatively poor wages. During the China trade's heyday, porcelain generally functioned as the ship's ballast. Above that went bales of tea. The best tea went in lead-sealed crates to preserve freshness. During America's China trade craze, tea chest lead was a prized source of exemplary glaze material for redware potters fortunate enough to live near ports. The Geldermalsen's load was typical. Simple teacups, bowls, plates, and things like that. But hardly any teapots. The salvage crew excavating the wreck didn't mind, though. After sifting through tons of decayed tea to get at the porcelain, most said they'd never drink tea again. Thanks for listening. And until next time, remember that revealing title of Hadley Mirra's March 7, 2016 essay, When Sipping Tea Was a Socially Ruinous Act.